Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أيها الأحبة في الله، إخواني في الإسلام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has honored me and given me this opportunity to address my dear brothers tonight. And all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has inspired you young brothers, young youth of Islam to take time out in your valuable time to attend tonight and inshallah to take something of a benefit for yourselves and for your deen. My dear brothers, without any shadow of a doubt, the youth are the future for this ummah of Islam, for this deen of Islam. And change and revival always comes from the youth. And this has been illustrated in several different parts in the Quran. We as a Muslim youth in the West, we need to rise and be a driving force for change. Hence the title, The Rise of the Muslim Youth. Yet unfortunately, we see amongst our communities, we see amongst the Muslim youth, problems upon problems. And if we want to rise, if we want to be part of change and revival, then we need to start to recognize these problems. We need to understand what is the cause of these problems, and we need to seek and implement the solutions to these problems. And rather than just assume what these problems are that the Muslim youth are facing, we the brothers who organized the event tonight, we went out to the Muslim youth and we did some research and we questioned the Muslim youth, what are the issues affecting you? And in a nutshell, one of the biggest issues that we find in one way or another is that overwhelming desire for money and material things, as we would say, the dunya. And the Muslim youth want this dunya, want these material things at any cost necessary, by any means necessary. Whether that is involving in crime and criminal activity, whether that's giving your whole life to study and professional careers and ignoring your deen. But one way or the other, the youth want the money. They want the money so they can fit in. They want the money so they can have the rep. They want the money so they can meet society's standards and expectations, so they can live life to the max and enjoy themselves with sensual pleasure and benefits. Another common issue that we find repetitive amongst some of the youth is the problem of women, the problem of the ghiyal. That the Muslim youth, they're finding this fitna living in this Western society of great difficulty. And in fact, I was shocked when I spoke and I discussed with many of the youth what the youth are getting up to today. Even brothers with beards and sisters with hijab. The kind of things that go on in our communities is disturbing and is shocking. And is a serious issue. So off the back of this mentality, this live life to the max and enjoy yourself at any cost mentality, we find in our community it's prevalent. We'll find the youth drinking alcohol, taking drugs. We'll see the youth going clubbing. We see the youth forming gangs. We see the gun culture. We see the drug culture and the like. This has become very predominant in our communities amongst Muslim youth. And ultimately, the upshot of all this is that the youth are far from any connect with their deen, are far from any connect with their identity as Muslims, and are far, far, far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the causes of these problems? These problems I've mentioned and many other problems that we could touch on of a similar nature. If time permitted, we could go through each issue one by one, break it down and say what is the cause of this problem, what is the solution. But we'll be restricted on time, so we're going to take a more comprehensive approach. We're going to, inshallah, be like the experienced doctor, the one that rather than just look at each symptom and try and treat the symptom, but rather the doctor who will realize that all these symptoms are caused by a root disease, a root cause, and thus he will seek to find that root disease and that root cause and treat that first, and then if symptoms need dealing with, then they will be dealt with. So what is the root cause causing these problems to us? Let us ask ourselves some questions about maybe ourselves personally, or about the Muslim youth that we know in our communities, in our schools, in our colleges. Let's ask ourselves, what is the viewpoint that we are carrying, the viewpoint to life? What do we see as our purpose in life? What do the Muslim youth see as their purpose in life? What are the concepts and ideas which we carry, which the youth carry, which push them to live in the way, as I've just mentioned, and as we see in our communities? We see, in summary, it's to live life with a max mentality. This concept of you're only young once, so enjoy it while you can. There's a concept of it ain't a crime if you don't get caught. If your dad don't catch you, if the police don't catch you, then it's fine. There's no higher concept of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about issues such as death, such as religion and the like, this is seen as not cool, this is seen as morbid, this is seen as a no-go area for the youth. Simply, the concept is you're young, and if you want to be successful, then you need to have cash money, you need to have Chris cards, you need to have a fat ride, a fat crib, and a fine gal or two. And this is the concept that many of the Muslim youth carry, and this is their viewpoint of life, and this is what they're seeking in their life. And I know this, not out of pride, because alhamdulillah Allah guided me to the truth, but I was once there, I once lived this life. I was once involved in this life. And even then, as the brother mentioned earlier, Abdul Karim, many of the people that lived that life in me were also from a Muslim background. And I know that what I'm saying is right, because I've spoken with many of the Muslim youth coming up to this event, and these are the realities that have told me. But you tell me today, as the audience listening here today, because you are the brothers I'm addressing, and if I'm getting the wrong end of the stick, if these are not the issues, if these are not the viewpoints that's predominant amongst the Muslim youth, then I need to throw this script away and I need to come up with a different talk. So am I right or am I wrong? Okay, so we're on the same wavelength so we can move forward. So let's ask the next question. These viewpoints to life, these concepts and ideas that the Muslim youth are carrying and living their life by, are they from Islam? Are they from Islam, yes or no?
No.
Okay, very clear, no there. So the next question, where are they from? If they're not from Islam, this viewpoint of life that the Muslim youth have adopted, these concepts and ideas that we live our life according to, where are they from? Some might say the West, some might say society, some may say various terminologies, but there's a clear word that describes all this that's already been mentioned and that we need to come to grips with. And that word is, it comes from the capitalist viewpoint of life. The capitalist viewpoint of life which says, look, if you want to believe in a God or you don't, that's up to you as an individual. But you put that to one side when it comes to life. When it comes to the way you live your life, the way life is managed, ruled and dictated, man decides. Man decides, and therefore man, with his desires and with his temptations, he decides for himself that life is about living to the max. Life is about enjoying yourself. And thus we see that the capitalist system develops upon this basis. And thus we see that these ideas are pushed to us without us consciously realizing it. We see them pushed to us in the school from a young age, on the TV, in the films that we watch, in the music tracks that the youth listen to, in the colleges and in the universities. Everywhere we go, this capitalist viewpoint of life and these concepts and ideas are being passed to us And consciously and subconsciously, we're adopting these ideas, digesting these ideas, and our life becomes a reflection of these ideas. So we see, there's no practical concept of God in our lives. Capitalism says, put God to one side when it comes to life. And we see in our lives, there's no practical concept of God in our lives. There's no accountability to a higher creator. Yeah, we might get a bit spiritual sometimes in Ramadan on a Friday, but that's it. And the only time God comes into our life when a man gets gripped for selling drugs and he's in that prison cell or doing something else, then he starts to pray to God, oh God, help me. I don't want to do a 15-year stretch. That's when we start to remember God. But otherwise in our life, there's no concept of God in our life. Our viewpoint amongst many of the youth has become simply live life to the max. The criteria for living their life has become the criteria for what's right and what's wrong has become what benefits them, what they enjoy. It's not the halal and the haram. The role models have become what? Have become the music stars, the R&B stars, the rap stars. The role models have become the celebrities, the actors, the sports personalities, the local neighborhood G, the local drug dealers, and even clowns of YouTube like Jimmy Hardnails. All these kind of people have become the role models for the Muslim youth. And my dear brothers, we need to recognize something. If we realize consciously, knowingly, right, that these are the ideas that we're living by, and if we consciously believe these ideas to be the truth, that this, if we consciously believe this capitalist viewpoint of life to be correct and to be the truth, my dear brothers, we would have stepped out of the fold of Islam. Because these ideas and these concepts from this capitalist way of life are clear kufr. There's no other word to describe it other than kufr. Clear kufr. And if we truly believe, and I know we don't, and if we consciously thought, yeah, this is right, and this is the true viewpoint of life, we would have left the fold of Islam. But although we don't truly believe in this, although, but we see it's reflecting in our lives, that's the way we're living, so there's a problem. There's a serious problem, and we need to start thinking about this, and we need to start bringing ourselves into check. We need to start asking some fundamental questions about our life. So my dear brothers, we need to think about this for ourselves, for our brothers, our sisters, our friends out there in the communities and the people we know who are representative of what's being discussed today. We need to start thinking about this. This is a big thing, brothers. This is not a small issue. This is a serious matter. This can be an issue between a man's deen and leaving the deen on a fundamental basis. And brothers, I truly realize that the capitalist way of life, it can be very attractive to the youth. It does provide temporary short-term enjoyment, and this is often a strong attachment for the Muslim youth. There's no doubt living in this Western society, there's no doubt living in this capitalist society is difficult. Nobody's trying to blab or nobody's trying to make out it's easy. But we need to realize that there's a flip side to the often glitter that the capitalist society tries to put forward to us. Summarized by Bob Marley when he said, "It ain't all the glitter, it's bald. An after story has never been told." And this is true. We see the glitter. We see the glitter on MTV. You know, the man with the money and the girls winding up and bruising. And some of that. This is the glitter. Yeah? But the flip script is something else. There's a very dark, a dirty, and negative side to this capitalist way of life. And it's deeply affecting our societies and it's deeply affecting the Muslim youth. My dear brothers, if we look to the prison population in this country, it is extremely disproportionately full of Muslim youth in the prisons for a variety of crimes. We see Muslim sisters on the streets selling themselves so they can get drugs. We see the smackheads and the crackheads in our communities. We see the crack babies. We see Muslim children being taken from their parents and put in care. We see Muslim elders being left in nursing homes to rot by their own kids because they're not bothered about their self and living life to the max. We see bros killing bros. We saw one example in Del Pazia's talk. There's another example recently in Pixmore, another one in Never Edge, where Muslim brothers are killing Muslim brothers. We see massive underachieving in the schools and the like. But worst of all, we just see the Muslim youth don't have a clue when it comes to the deen. They've gone far, far, far from the deen. In fact, brothers, they become big gamblers, the biggest gamblers. We're worse than those men who go to the casinos, those men in the poker houses, those men who go to Vegas and blow their money on the roulette. We become the biggest gamblers. Why? Because we're gambling our akhirah. We're gambling an eternal jannah and pleasures that we can't even imagine, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? For a bit of this joke dunya. In fact, we are racing to destroy ourselves and literally kill ourselves for a bit of this joke dunya. A dunya which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as related in Tirmidhi, that were this world worth the wing of a mosquito, not even a fly, but a mosquito, just its wing, it's this dunya was worth just its wing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have even given the non-believers some water to drink. So think about this, think, look what Allah has given the non-believers, and yet the hadith is saying, if this dunya was even worth the wing of a mosquito, they never got a drink of water. But we gamble our akhirah for it. We kill one another and die for it. We need to think about this, my dear brothers. This is the effect of the capitalist concept that was infiltrated our mind. So my dear brothers, we've got to the root of the problem that we are experiencing. The symptoms are many, but the root cause is clear. There's a psychological cancer which has infected our minds. The psychological cancer of the capitalist concepts and ideas. So now, the clever youth, which I'm sure you all are, will be thinking, why? What do we do about this? What's the cure, doctor? Am I going to die? How do we cure ourselves from this psychological cancer? It's running chaos in our communities. We could give an easy answer, we could give the correct answer, and an easy answer we could say, brothers, you all need to turn to Islam. It's the truth and we've got the proof, and we've got all the solutions to all man's problems, it's a complete way of life. We could say that, and it's the truth, but probably this is not going to be much use in us practically in really changing, our lives. So we need to go a little bit deeper. So we need to go to the reality, and we need to start to look at the reality, and we need to break it down. So my dear brothers, yeah, it's hard, it truly is hard. I know for many of the young Muslim brothers, the testosterone's pumping, and it's hard for them to control themselves with all the fitna and all the gal in society and the like. They find it difficult. Yeah, they see other people with their money and so on and so forth, and this is pushed towards, and they feel that they need to live up to the expectation. Yeah, it can be nice to some extent to kick back with the boys, chill out, light up a fat spliff of skunk. Yeah, it can be nice to some extent to go hit in the club with the boys. Yeah, it can be nice to some extent to make a quick raise so that you can have that money to get those items that you need. It's true, people find temporary like a stress, temporary pleasure in these things. Despite the often ugly problems that come about and the long-term consequences that we see of these. And again, I know that these things can be attractive and can have an element of niceness to them because I've been there. May Allah forgive me for that. But the important issue is that despite being there, despite living that way of life, and being brought up in that way of life, something made me turn my back on such things when I was 18 years old, in the prime of my youth. And as you can all imagine, a good-looking guy like me would have had bad that. But still, he turned my back on his capitalist viewpoint of life, in favor of his Islamic viewpoint of life. Likewise, Brother Abdul Karim. Likewise, many, many reverse Islam that we know from our communities, and the famous people that we might know, such as Napoleon, such as Loon, such as Malcolm X and the like. So what's made all these people who were in the half capitalist way of life and brought up in it, turn their back on it, turn their back on the capitalist dream and come to Islam? Maybe there's some solution to the answers that we need in this reality. There's no doubt that every brother and sister who comes to Islam has his or her unique story. And what we find is there's always a common thread running through all these stories. And that is that each one of us became thinkers rather than blind followers, following blind like sheep. What do I mean? It means we started to think about our lives and what we were doing. We started to ask ourselves, how did we get here? Why are we here? And death which inevitably awaits us What is the consequences of this? What is the purpose of my life? We started to ask ourselves these fundamental questions. And we started thinking about the rubbish and the crap that the capitalist society throws at us, and challenging it and questioning it and pondering upon it. And thus, through whichever way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, but when He exposed us to Islam, when He introduced us to Islam, we question that also, we scrutinize that also, we challenge that also. But then, that's when we saw the truth. That's when we saw the arguments coming back with the strong evidences, with the strong rational arguments, with the clear proofs and the clear understanding. And therefore, in one way or another, we came to the deen of Islam. My dear brothers, it's this thinking which fundamentally makes us different from the animals. So when we stop thinking, we become like animals. And that is the reality that we see in our societies. Go any Friday, Saturday night in a town centre and you see the people behaving like what? Animals. Because we've given away this thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has elevated us, and thus we become like animals and we live our life like animals. So my dear brothers, we need to sincerely question ourselves. We need to sincerely question how we are living. We need to question what are the concepts that we carry. What is the viewpoint of life that we carry and what we live by? What is the aqeedah which is illustrated in our everyday lives? Not what we sincerely believe in, but what reflects in our life. Which aqeedah is it? Is it Islamic aqeedah or is it the capitalist aqeedah? We need to start questioning these things. Dear brothers, what do you think Islam is? Do you think Islam is reading a book you don't understand and getting licked up by a mad mullah if you make a mistake? You think that Islam is wearing what the people in the West call pyjamas or AKA salwar kameez in public and growing a big beard and not fitting in? Do you think Islam is being a sado where you can have no enjoyment in life, you have to be seclusive? What do you think Islam is? Because if we think this kind of thing, or our trend of thinking is in this way, then we've got it all wrong, my dear brothers. And we need to revisit Islam, and we need to re-study Islam, and we need to start to think about our lives ourselves, and understand Islam for ourselves, and use this mind which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. We need to become convinced of the truth of Islam for ourselves. None of us here today should be Muslim just because we were born Muslim, because our fathers are Muslim, or because we're Pakistani or Yemeni or Somali and such people are Muslim. We should all be Muslim because we have studied and understood Islam and are convinced Islam is the truth and is the way of life we are living, and therefore we are Muslims because we have chosen to be Muslims. My dear brothers, when we're convinced of Islam and we have that conviction in Islam, and we truly question our lives and go to the bottom of it, then we'll start to see that effect in our life, we'll start to see that change. My dear brothers, let me give a quick analogy. If I were to give all of you £10 now, £10 each, and say, brothers, that's yours, you can do whatever you like with it. So some brothers will be buzzing, about £10 for nothing. And then I say, but I tell you what, give me that £10 back, all of you give me the £10 back, and in 10 days' time, I'm going to give each one of you £10 billion. Now, there'll be some people who'll start thinking, you're not going to give us £10 billion. Where's he going to get £10 billion for each of us? I'm best at keeping this £10 I've got now. But the ones who think, no, I know Abdul-Rahim, I know he's trustworthy, I know if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it, and they're convinced and they have conviction in what I'm saying and what I'm telling them, they're going to think that's a bad deal. And they're going to give that £10 back, and they're going to have supper, and they're going to sacrifice for 10 days for the 10 billion. But think about life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this bit of dunya. He's given us this life. We didn't ask for it. And everything we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. And He asks us sometimes to sacrifice a little bit and to have patience for what? For an eternal jannah, an eternal reward that, you know, we're not talking about £10 billion. We're talking about things we can't imagine. But yet, at least you're not having that £10. I'm not sure. You might skank me. But if we had true conviction that this is a true deal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we'd be crazy not to make that sacrifice, not to wait that 10 days for £10 billion. Who would have? And this is the difference between when you're convinced of something and when you're not. And that's why we need to get that conviction, my dear brothers. So at the end of the day, my dear brothers, we'll realize when we get this conviction that some things are worth sacrificing for. you'll realize the bigger picture and the bigger prize. And we'll realize that although sometimes it's not easy, we have to strive and we have to struggle and we have to sacrifice. Because at the end of the day, we know the real deal. We know that the real rewards are waiting. But these real rewards are for the men, not the boys. These rewards are for the real soldiers who stand for Islam, who live their life by Islam. Not the toy soldiers who fall over when they face a little bit of temptation and a little bit of desire. They fall flat on their backs. And we're told in the hadith, Muhammad told us to summarize that the path to Jannah is laden with hardships, with tests, with trials and tribulations. Whereas the path to hellfire, to Jahannam, is laden with ease and with nice and with this glitter. So we know we have to strive, we have to sacrifice. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that dunya sijnun lumin wa jannatun kafir. That this dunya, this world, is like a prison for the believer and a jannah for the kafir. So yeah, we have to struggle, we have to sacrifice, but we have the bigger picture in mind all the time. So we need to hold this in mind, my dear brothers. I want to just quickly move on and mention some other points. That one, we should realize now the root of the problem that we're suffering from is the effects of the capitalist viewpoint in life affecting the youth. And we should realize actually that this capitalist way of life is not just the cause of the problems that we face as individuals, but it's also the cause of the problems that we face as societies, as a nation, and as a global community. So my dear brothers, for example, we saw the recent national riots which were touched on by Bill Fazir. What drove the youth to go mad like that, smashing up the place, thieving and everything? What drove the youth? There was interviews with many of the youth by The Guardian. And they said, look, we need these things and we can't move up in society. And it was easy picking, so I just went in there. And once I realised I could get that so easy, I thought, I'm going to go and get the rest. I texted my brethren, they came down. Because of that viewpoint of life, it's all about this, it's all about getting paid. We're not going to get caught, the police can't do anything, let's dive in. Which viewpoint of life is this? It's the capitalist viewpoint of life. The politicians, they rose up and they said, the youth have gone wild, it's a drug culture, this and that. But these are the same politicians who were stealing from the nation. These are the same politicians who were cheating the nation on its taxpayers' money to get duck houses for the duck ponds, plasma TVs to get other houses, extra houses, some politicians' husbands buying porn movies and the like with taxpayers' money. So these capitalists, they're the same people, the same capitalists. They thought they could get away with it. So they said, let's get paid. That's what life's about. Let's enjoy something. Let's get paid. So we see capitalism showing its ugly head all around in society and in the life. Let's look globally, as mentioned earlier, we're in the midst of a global economic crisis. Europe is on its knees, the US is mashed up, and in fact things are getting so bad that even their own people are rising up and protesting. People are protesting against capitalism, this Occupy movement. You can even see Man of Man's outside the cathedral in Sheffield, protesting against capitalism, because they even see that capitalism is destroying their lives and destroying their communities. But they need to realize that it's not just the capitalist economic system that they need to protest against and change. It's the whole capitalist viewpoint of life that needs to be uprooted and changed. My dear brothers, look around the world over the last 12 months and beyond. Look how many, so many innocent Muslim lives have been destroyed and lost along with their countries. And what did the capitalists say the reason is for this? To establish justice, freedom and democracy, we've heard it all before. And this is complete hypocrisy. This is one of the biggest jokes that we've heard. These slogans are nothing other than smoke screens. We know the real motivations, it's clear. Money, power, oil, strategic positioning and so on and so forth. It's all about raw capitalism and it's about suppressing Islam and the rise of Islam as a political system and as well as life. So while the few 1% at the top of society, well, they get paid and live the big life, the rest suffer. The bankers and the politicians, they still get their fat salaries and their fat bonuses. Well, the average man is struggling to survive, losing his job, being made redundant, and the youth, they can't even get jobs. The capitalists at the top of the system, the pimps of the system, are still living life. Well, the everyday man is suffering. There's people in Britain today that can't even eat properly or eat their homes. Old people are dying of cold because they can't even pay for the bills. This is the blunt end of capitalism. We see the problems with all aspects of life and society coming about due to this capitalism. So we need to start changing our mindsets. We need to start looking at our beliefs. We need to start waking up, my dear brothers, and getting with the program. We need to break free from the capitalist matrix, my dear brothers. There's no doubt whatsoever that the youth need Islam. There's no doubt that the world needs Islam. It's the truth and we've got the proof. There's no doubt about this. And Islam holds the solutions to our problems as individuals and as the world's problems. But it's only when we turn to Islam, start to understand Islam, start to implement Islam, that we can ever get the fruits of Islam. So the issue is clear. The issue is clear. We need to reject this kufr capitalism and turn to Islam, my dear brothers. We need to turn to Islam and we need to stand for Islam. Just to finish, my dear brothers, have we not seen the Islamic giant awakening? The giant which has been kept unconscious by the poison of capitalism is awakening. The body is becoming resistant to the capitalist poison and they have nothing left to inject it with. The antidote has been given and the giant is awakening. My dear brothers, who would have thought this time last year when we held a similar event, who would have thought that the Muslims in places like Libya or places like Tunisia or Egypt or Syria or Yemen, that they would have shrugged off the fear of these tyrant rulers who suppress them under the backing of the capitalist world, that they would have shrugged off this fear and stood up to these tyrants and overthrown these tyrants? Who would have fought this, my dear brothers? And who was at the forefront of this change? It was the young Muslim youth. Some examples were given earlier about the Dil Qasir, but the young Muslim youth, with their zeal and with their energy, using the latest technology, whether that was Facebook, Twitter, smartphone technology and the like, to cause this revolution and this change towards Islam. So we see that this change is taking place, and although there's some distance to go, we see it going in a positive direction, and we see in countries like Libya, Egypt, Tunisia and the like, that there was massive support for parties which were Islamic orientated, and this shows the emotion of the people is towards Islam. So change is taking place, my dear brothers, but at the same time, struggling capitalists, as much as they're on their knees, they're doing their best to try and swing this change to their favour, to try and swing the change that the pure blood of the Muslims has brought about to their favour. And we can't allow them at any cost, my dear brothers, to do this. O sons of Islam, young lions of the deen, O soldiers of Almighty Allah, know that we live in important times in regards to the history of Islam. The work we are calling you to is the very work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble Sahaba. This is the work to revive and to establish and to implement the Islamic way of life by the Khilafah system. My dear brother, in the past, the Muslim youth, they had to face the mushriks of Arabia to uphold Islam and establish Islam. Then the Muslim youth had to face the superpowers of the Romans and the Persians to uphold the banner of Islam. And then other Muslim youth had to face the onslaught of the Western Crusaders as they attempted to crush Islam. My dear brothers, now it's our turn. We need to stand up and we need to face the capitalists. And we need to take this war to them. And it's not a physical war, my dear brothers, but it's a war, it's a battle for the hearts and minds. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle, an intellectual and a political battle, my dear brothers. So this is our call of duty, my dear brothers. We announce this call of duty. We announce this call to the ranks of Islam. A call to turn fully to Islam. A call to support and to get involved in the work to revive Islam. A call to work to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know, my dear brothers, without any shadow of a doubt, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger are true. And know that inshallah, inshallah ta'ala, the victory for Islam is near. And with this victory, and for those who work with this victory, are great rewards and great honour in this world and in the next. So I sincerely ask you all to make a sincere intention today that you be part of this work for change and that you be amongst those who stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the noble Sahaba's will, as those who stood for Islam, who worked to implement Islam and to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the A'mal al-Binyat, that every action is by intention. So my dear brothers, I've declared a strong intention that we will be the youth who will work for deen. We will be the ones who will have the victory on our hands. Whatever I've said today of good and of benefit is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we praise Him and praise Him alone. Anything I've said wrong, any mistakes I've made, have been from myself. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.